Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Daniel Baker. Joining us today, we have a special guest, Kelly Owsley. Kelly has 20-plus years in the financial services industry, with more than 10 years in the banking compliance arena. She holds a Bachelor of Science degree in accounting from the University of Kentucky and has been a certified regulatory compliance manager since 2014. Kelly began her career in 2000 and has worked in numerous areas of the financial services industry, including retail branch management, lending, product development, and training for institutions ranging in asset size from $250 million up to $3 billion. More recently, she served in various compliance roles in community banks, including Senior Vice President, Chief Compliance Officer, Vice President of Compliance, BSA Officer, CRA Officer, and OFAC Officer. Kelly, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Kelly, so I always like to ask the question of my guests on this podcast, how they got into the financial sector in the first place. The majority of us kind of just fell into it. Is that your story, or did you have a different story of how you got into the banking world?
I sort of fell into it, honestly. I think, you know, many of us in this industry do that. As you kind of read in my bio, I went to the University of Kentucky and got my degree in accounting. All of my plans throughout my high school, into college, through college, were to get out with my accounting degree, go into public accounting and be a CPA. And I quickly learned after graduating and getting out into the accounting world that I did not really enjoy accounting in the real world. So that was a very difficult, pill to swallow after spending all of that money going to college, getting that degree. What am I going to do now? And so interestingly enough, my mother had been in banking her whole career and had retired from the industry. And she said, I think this would be a really good fit for you. And so I started kind of exploring that avenue. And due to some life changes, I left the state of Kentucky and at the time was residing in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And so was able to join a bank up there in 2000, as you said. And Philadelphia was considered a small community bank, happened to be $3 billion in assets. And so I got a ton of exposure to just different areas of banking and really learned so very much in that bank and so grateful to have that opportunity. It just clicked for me. I loved it once I got into it. So I can think of the push from the parent.
So I have to ask then, because accounting is, I mean, there's a lot of similarities in banking and accounting, but not necessarily a ton in compliance and accounting. I mean, there's some crossover there.
Sure.
Did that accounting degree really benefit you? Did you find that that was a great degree to get into compliance with?
Yeah, I think for me, the areas of accounting that, believe it or not, that I enjoyed was kind of digging into the tax laws and looking into the laws. And so it kind of fit, after going through those 4 years of school and that being kind of my emphasis and the thing I enjoyed the most in accounting school. You know, even when I was in the front line of banking, which is where most of us start, with CSR work and lending and those types of things, I was always wanting to understand the why. Why am I doing this? What is the requirement behind why I have to do this? And so it was a really good transition. So I think I definitely don't, I'm not disappointed by getting that accounting degree. It was one of the best things I ever did. Yeah.
So then, as I understand it, right now your position is that you're a virtual compliance officer with Review Alliance. As a virtual compliance officer, what is your role? What do you do? What do you cover?
So as a virtual compliance officer, we basically serve as a compliance officer for different banks and primarily smaller community banks. But we serve from afar. So we are virtual. We are, in our home offices and assist really the bank in any kind of compliance work that needs to be done for them. So, you know, it could be a position where we're assisting them just temporarily. Maybe they don't have a compliance officer for a period of time and they need us to step in and kind of fill that role for them for a period of time. It could be that they do have a compliance officer and they just need additional assistance with monitoring and risk assessments and, you know, those types of things. So really, as a virtual compliance officer, we can wear many hats. One of the probably best things we do as a VCO is, one, just getting to know the bank, getting to understand their needs when we first come in and do their implementation calls, getting to know them. And then we kind of plan around, you know, what this bank is all about, what their products are, what their services are that they offer, you know, what their risk appetite is, and manage, you know, we kind of are special. We're specializing for them. And so every bank is a little bit different. We're assigned multiple banks. And so, you know, every bank's a little bit different in what their needs are. And so that's kind of what we do on a daily basis. My days are filled with monitoring and helping them prepare for audits and exams and things of that nature.
So I'd love to come back to the help and prepare for audits and exams here in just a little bit. But when you say you assign multiple banks, how many banks are you usually managing at any given moment?
I started out with four banks, ranging in asset size from about $350 million, $400 million, all the way up to about a $2.5 billion bank is kind of where my asset size are with my banks. And so typically a VCO will have anywhere from 4 to 5 banks that we're managing at one time. So it's very busy. Gotta be able to pivot quickly.
So really your day is just filled with going from kind of bank to bank, managing the needs and expectations, as well as managing the projects of each bank as you work through. Would you say that's the fair assessment?
Absolutely. Yes. I think, you know, when you first get into meeting your bank, this bank you've been assigned as a VCO, we spend some time with implementation calls. And then on those, we're kind of assessing where they are, what their needs are, and diving into some transactional testing to understand, you know, where their risk lies. And then we complete a very thorough risk assessment, risk analysis to understand where their risks are. And then we're able to develop for them a monitoring schedule. And so that monitoring schedule may be something like, we're going to do quarterly lending reviews where we're going in and transaction testing their loan portfolio for the prior quarter. So we'll do that quarterly. We may do semi-annual deposit reviews. Obviously, deposit regulations don't change quite as often. And so we may just do those semi-annually, depending on the risk. We also dive into BSA and help with CTRs and SARs and things of that nature. So that's kind of our daily things that we're working on the bank with, also answering questions and assisting in those ways.
So then I'd really love to dig in as to how a bank can manage a virtual compliance officer. I mean, there's been a large transition in the industry, especially over the past couple of years with COVID and everything like that, where you've actually seen a lot of compliance leaving the hands of the branch, or per se the hands of the branch, and switching to a more remote or digital format. So from we've talked with banks about the perspective of the bank, I'd love to hear it from your perspective. When it comes to, let's take preparing for an exam, How does that project management look from start to finish? So the bank needs to, I'm assuming, communicate with you about the project, and then you establish timelines. Talk to me about the development of this project. Like, from a VCO perspective or a virtual compliance officer perspective, what should that look like?
So we kind of begin that process going all the way back to really when we've contracted with the bank. One of the first things that I try to learn from my bank is, you know, when was your last compliance exam? What cycle are you on? What's your next date for your upcoming exam? And I was very lucky in that when I was assigned my banks, most of them had recently gone through a compliance exam. So we were kind of in that time frame where we had some time to work on things, to get things cleaned up if needed, just to kind of better understand their program. So it really goes back to the beginning of assigning with a VCO. And then once that VCO kind of gets into the daily monitoring and the tasks and things, you know, then we're looking to see, okay, what is it that we need to fix or adjust or reanalyze prior to this upcoming exam? One of the things that I'm going through now, I have a current bank that is getting ready to go through an exam this summer in June. And we, you know, have been working for the past year and a half, just trying to clean up some of those small things, make sure we've got proper risk assessments where they need to be, make sure we've done, you know, a very strong fair lending analysis and understanding where they are from a fair lending perspective. This particular bank had not had a compliance audit done in quite some time. And so while we're coming in and doing the daily monitoring, it was really important that we get an audit in place for them, a compliance audit completed prior to the exam, just to have an understanding of were there any holes out there that we were missing. And so we had an audit team come in and do a thorough audit, compliance audit over all of the regulations. And they were, you know, we did uncover a couple of things that we were able to get fixed prior to an upcoming exam. And so, you know, those are the kind of things that you want to be sure that you've taken into consideration prior to an exam. One of the keys between the bank and the VCO that is so, so important is just communication. And I know that's kind of
what we all ask about that.
Yeah, that's what we all say, no matter if you're in person or you're virtual, but particularly in the virtual world, you know, I am touching base with my banks daily. And if I haven't heard from them in a few days, I'm reaching out and saying, hey, is everything okay? Do you need something? Where are we with this? So it's so important. And we stress that during implementation calls is, you know, communication is absolutely key, particularly as you're working toward preparing for an exam. You know, that's really the key element there.
So I do have a question about that communication. When it comes to communicating with the bank, do you have a designated party that you communicate with that's your point of contact at that bank? Or do you work with a group of individuals there? How does that look like?
So it really depends on the bank. If there is a compliance officer in the bank and we're just coming in to assist, then typically all communication will flow through that compliance officer or, you know, that compliance department. I have one particular bank that doesn't have a compliance officer. I'm kind of filling that role for them. However, because there's not a designated compliance officer, we've, of course, developed a compliance committee. And in that case, I'm dealing, you know, the compliance committee is made up of different heads of the business units within that bank. And so on a daily basis, rather than dealing with one individual, I'm dealing with four individuals, you know, the different business units in that particular bank. And so it really just depends on the bank itself and how they're structured. But, you know, if they do have a compliance officer, that's typically the one that I'm communicating with the most.
So really what I'm hearing is that there's a lot of flexibility when it comes to hiring a virtual compliance officer or working with a virtual compliance specialist. And it's a lot of just tailoring around what the bank's needs, and you can establish these kinds of things as you're initiating the relationship, establish the communication patterns and establish kind of the scope of what they're going to be covering and different elements like that. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a very fair assessment. Yes. I think one of the things I learned in coming into this role, I've always been with, you know, one bank. And so I just had to worry about that bank and working with the individuals within that bank. And I think coming into this role and working with different banks, multiple banks, you know, the key is really flexibility and great communication, and just being able to pivot from one thing to the, you know, to another thing. You know, I might be dealing with deposits with this bank, and within 5 minutes, I'm jumping over here and dealing with a loan matter from another bank, and then maybe BSA next. So flexibility and being able to move quickly is really the key in this particular role.
So I'm gonna kind of give you a little bit of a pushback on VCR just a little bit, because I'm curious to see what perspective you would take. So if you had to look at it from a bank's perspective instead of a virtual compliance officer's perspective, because you've worked in the bank, you've worked in higher level compliance positions, why would a bank want to hire a VCO versus just someone in branch? Because I mean, someone in branch, they've got someone dedicated 100% towards their time. They've got someone that they can communicate with whenever they need to. They don't have to worry about kind of remote communication or anything like that if they don't want that. Like, why would they want to hire a VCO?
So I think probably one of the best benefits of hiring a VCO is just having a fresh set of eyes look into your compliance management system as a whole. One of the things that, you know, by going back to kind of the foundation in our implementation calls, we're just asking a ton of questions and getting a better understanding of what all the products and services are, what their processes are, procedures, policies. And so, you know, I know from my time serving one bank as a compliance officer, you kind of get stagnant, I guess you could say, in your position. And, you know, you're doing a policy review and you think, I've seen this policy 15 times. I don't really need to look at it again. It's fine. We're moving on. Whereas we're coming in as a VCO with a fresh set of eyes, we're going through every policy, procedure, risk assessment, you know, review, we're digging into transactional testing. And so we are finding things and seeing things that haven't been seen in a few, maybe even a few years, and kind of have been overlooked. So I think that is one, probably the biggest benefit that I've seen come out of this, you know, this role that I've been filling for quite, you know, in quite some time. So
let's talk a little bit then about actual, like, how you do your job. What kind of platforms do you find you're using as a VCO? Are you using just like the Microsoft suite and keeping track of things on like Excel and calendars? Or do you have like access to the bank's internal programs that you're using? Like, how are you managing the tasks and projects that are being assigned to you by these banks?
That's a great question, and probably one of the most challenging pieces of our role, because we get into our bank's system. So we go through VPN. We have VPN access to our banks. And of course, everything has to be shared securely. We're not going to go out there and, you know, just send unsecure emails back and forth with customer information and that type of thing. So we're doing everything either in their platform, or if we, you know, we're sharing through, you know, a particular platform like ShareFile to make sure things are being securely transferred between bank and VCO or vice versa. So, you know, that's really the key, I think, when having a VCO relationship, is the bank being open to allow us to get into their systems and understand their platform, their core system, looking at their loan documents, those types of things. That's really key when we're doing those implementation calls, is getting the bank to understand how important that is.
Now, as a VCO, do you ever meet with individuals in person, or is it strictly just 100% remote?
I do. I actually, the majority of the time we are remote. However, for example, my bank that I have that's coming up on a compliance exam, my plan is to be there on site with them during the exam, or at least a portion of the exam, once their regulatory agency, which is the FDIC in this case, once they have, you know, given the green light of, yes, this is when we'll be in-house or on site, then I will, of course, go out and join them and assist them. In this particular exam, the compliance officer that is in this bank is new to compliance. She's been in BSA and that area of banking for quite some time, but she just took over for another compliance officer who retired. And so this is her first exam that she's going through. And so it's important that as a VCO with multiple exams under my belt, that I'm able to go in and assist and just kind of answer questions and help. You know, if something is found during the exam, help her to understand what the process is of looking at the citations, looking at the regulation, trying to get the examiner to explain to us why it's an issue, if in fact it is, and those types of things. So, so we do get an opportunity to, you know, to visit with our banks. We, I believe that we are contracted to visit them at least twice. But if they want to bring us into the bank more than that, they're welcome to do so. So we do have the ability to travel to them as needed.
Perfect. That's fantastic. I actually didn't know that. That's a great feature. So I wanted to give you opportunity. We are running a little bit out of time, and I like to give all my guests this chance. If you could give one piece of advice to banks today, be it from your experience or from your current position, what is that piece of advice you'd extend to financial institutions?
Oh, gosh. Great question. I think probably the most important thing, obviously, coming from a compliance perspective, is don't shortchange yourself on compliance. Obviously, you know, I think banks sometimes don't understand how important it is to have a strong compliance management system. And, you know, I've heard so many times in my career that my department, you know, a compliance department is a cost center. You know, you're a cost center to us. And my kind of response to that always is, well, I'm much cheaper than that check you may have to write after that exam. So, you know, I think that as a bank, you've got to look at your compliance area of the bank as, you know, the risk manager and put the resources needed into compliance to help you run a very clean program. And so that's my piece of advice. I think in addition to that, kind of to supplement that, stay atop on top of news that's happening in the compliance world. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things I can say I've learned the most from throughout my career are enforcement actions that have come out. So when you get your daily compliance update, wherever that may be coming from, pay attention to those enforcement actions, because we tend to get, I don't want to say it's new regulation, but we kind of can get an idea of where regulators are headed by some of these enforcement actions that are coming out. So stay atop of those for sure.
That's a very good point. I can't say that I've necessarily focused too much on the enforcement actions, but that's a very good point that's really how the regulators make their opinions heard.
Yeah.
Well, Kelly, I really appreciate you joining us for today's episode. It's refreshing to hear how banks should be managing kind of a virtual or remote compliance officer from the perspective of a virtual or remote compliance officer versus just from the perspective of a bank. So thank you very much for bringing that today.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure to be here and to talk with you today.
For the rest of our listeners, we appreciate you listening in, and that's Banking Matters.